Welcome to In the Now with Jim Swilly. This is part three of our episodes with special guest. Let me start over. You'll need to edit that out. Toy boat. I love editing. Editing and cropping are the two greatest things that ever happened, nearly. Okay. Welcome to In the Now with Jim Swilly. Once again, would you please welcome our special guest, John Scott. John! If you're watching this on the YouTube channel, you will see that this is part three of Unto Us. Before you watch this, you may want to go back to the YouTube page and watch parts one and two so that you will have a little context. We are using Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. King James says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We've talked about the Lord's Prayer, how Jesus used the pronoun our Father, give us this day our daily bread. There's no me, there's no you, it's all our. In the last episode, we talked about Acts chapter 17, where Paul says he is not far from any of us, though we all grope for him. In him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. As a matter of fact, before I get out of Acts 17, 28, let's stop there for a minute. Because he says, in him we live, but in him we move. In the last two episodes, you've been talking about evolution. Define evolution for me.
Oh, man.
Thanks. Wikipedia. Thanks. No, I mean like in a spiritual context.
Okay, so growth, really. Just growing out. So the one I love the most in nature is the caterpillar goes into the cocoon. It has within it, from its very beginning, the ability to fly, but it doesn't know. It may not know. Or maybe it does. Maybe it dreams about it. I've never been inside the head of a caterpillar. So maybe it dreams about it, but it just maybe doesn't think, I'm not equipped to do it, right? So the equipment comes from glory to glory, strength to strength, faith to faith. I think Paul is trying to describe evolution, shifting and moving and constant moving. In him we live and move and have our being. We breathe and we get that from that. So anyway, the caterpillar goes into the cocoon and it doesn't even know, even probably while it's in there, what's actually happening. But it is a dark place, and it is a place where it feels confined. It doesn't know that in the confinement it's being redefined. And that it actually, its potential, its fullest potential is being brought out in that dark time. That's why I see sometimes when you feel, if you ever feel, and you're such a fantastic mind anyway, and I'm not trying to pump up the ego. You just, for years, have been such a teacher in my life and have been a way shower, and I appreciate that so much. I literally wouldn't be where I'm at today. I possibly would be in a mental institution if it wasn't for him.
Yeah, come on.
I'm not even lying. I'm saying, okay, that I went through a crisis in my life. The message that freed me from that crisis or helped me walk through it was a bruised reed and a smoldering flask. Mm. Yeah. And I wore the tape out. That's aging me a little bit, but it was a cassette tape, and I wore it out. Anyway. But back to the story. So the caterpillar goes into the cocoon, a dark space. And if you open the cocoon, if you walked up to a cocoon, don't open it. Because if you did, you would abort the process. And when you abort the process, you don't get to see the beauty of the result, right? But when that caterpillar finally, what happens is the cocoon dries up to the place that the smallest of wind would open the cocoon. And then, can you imagine the first time that happens and all of a sudden there's sunlight, you're the butterfly, you don't know you can fly. The last time you checked, you were crawling beneath things. And then the wind blows, and all of a sudden you're like, free falling, not so much. Wow.
I don't think there's anything else in nature that makes your point that dramatically. There's some, I don't remember who said it, but there's a quote, I love it. It says, when she became a butterfly, all of her friends thought she was weird, but she had wings. In other words, how do I go back and explain to these caterpillars? I can't even communicate with them now, because I don't mean I just lost some weight or had some work done. I'm like a completely
different
yes. thing.
Yes.
And you've mentioned the word crisis several times. You know, the word is actually chrysalis, what the butterfly, the whole thing that it becomes. And it's the crisis comes from inside it. What's amazing is, you know, this, it's amazing about nature, but when this caterpillar begins to secrete this liquid that, you know, becomes like a cottony kind of substance, I'm sure it's got to, you know, whatever a caterpillar's intellect is like, what the heck? What is happening to me? You know, am I dying? Well, kind of.
Yes.
You are kind of dying. And it's the whole evolution of I was this, but old things have passed away. And being born again is not a one-time experience. How dare you discredit the new birth? Because what Jesus was talking about with Nicodemus was not about an altar call, every head bowed, every eye closed, come pray a sinner's prayer. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, unless you are born again, you'll never see the kingdom. He was talking about perception.
Yeah.
Jesus talked so little about heaven and hell. It's amazing that Christianity became so much about that.
Sure.
But he says, no, you're going to die, but you're going to be born again. And when that happens and happens and happens, with every crisis that comes, you're not even afraid of it anymore. You nearly, and let's make it personal here, and maybe this is where you were going a minute ago when you were talking about me. I'm not trying to get you talking about me again, but I want you to get your point.
Let's go back to it.
We've all been through a death and resurrection experience, and it may happen again. And the instinct needs to be not to ask for deliverance, but to ask for new life. Like, where is this death taking me?
Yeah.
Because if you say, let this cup pass from me, you may miss the new world. And the new world is terrifying. I mean, the thing about, if we're going to just torture the butterfly metaphor here for a minute, this isn't even like baby eagles. At least baby eagles have seen flight. Baby eagles have seen a mother flap her wings and go off somewhere and come back with some food. So at least in an eagle's mind, I've got some point of context. Not with a butterfly. A butterfly is like, what the heck? Yeah. What's coming out of me? And suddenly it's wings. Mm-hmm. And
what's
so if you feel like...
What's coming
right,
out of me? The kingdom of God. What's
right. It's not in heaven.
No.
It's in you. You don't go to a caterpillar and say, pray that God gives you wings. Mm-hmm. Listen, God's never going to give you wings.
Never going to.
You're going to grow
that. Feel it.
You're going to grow the wings
out of
your belly shall flow
rivers of life. Life,
which
life
is good.
Evolution.
Man, I felt that, and it feels crazy when it's first happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When it first, You know how it started happening for me? Now, I don't experience this now, but I remember becoming comfortable enough in my ecclesiastical skin that I started preaching things that I had always believed. During the break, we mentioned Bishop Pearson, who's a mutual friend of ours. Carlton Pearson did not teach me about inclusion.
It was already in you.
He gave me a language to help me understand,
yep,
and he inspired me
to say it.
To say it, yes, because he had a national platform, and as he was saying things that people thought was so off the wall, I thought, well, shoot, that's kind of what I've always believed. And I guess because he's saying it, he's busting through the walls.
Yes.
And bits and pieces, I've picked up people that I don't think they realize they've said it. I remember back in the 80s hearing Kenneth Copeland teach out of 2 Timothy, where he says he's the Savior of all men, especially them that believe. And he said, the whole world's saved, they just don't know it yet. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's retreated from that now.
Yes.
But he had a moment of an epiphany. But let me tell you something. Those wings are terrifying. And they could cost, I'm not judging Brother Copeland, I'm saying the wings can cost you a lot. And not everybody's willing to give up what flight is going to cost them.
Yes, yes.
Because caterpillars just do not get butterflies.
No, as a matter of fact, they look at you and say, who do you think you are?
But what I was going to say is, when I started noticing something coming out of me was saying things prophetically and knowing that I heard the voice of what I call God. There's a glory about it that is undeniable, and all the theologians in the world couldn't talk me out of it. I know that I know God. I just know that I know God. If you think I know the Bible, that's fine. I don't want to be known for knowing the Bible. I want to be known for knowing God. Knowing the Bible has helped me know God. I don't want to know the God of the Bible. I want to know the God that the Bible led me to, that now I know. In Him I live and move. And I love that the third part of that is have my being, not build a church, not build a denomination. I came that you might have abundant life. And realize that it was always in Bedford Falls. How awesome is this place? Genesis 28. The Lord has been here all along and I didn't know it. That's being born again. But what started happening with me is there's a way that I hear the voice speak to me about what to talk about. Here's what I pray. What do I need to talk about Sunday? All right, we'll say this. Well, I started hearing the voice say things. I said, really? Do we believe that? Because that sounds really different from what we said the voice said before. And the voice said to me, do not call unclean what I've called clean. Hello. I'm like, well, I know, but you kind of did, didn't you? And you start hearing this stuff come out of you. Mm-hmm. And people are offended by it. Yeah. I lost way more people out of Church in the Now over inclusion than I did on me coming out. Coming out was just like the tipping point. That was just like the people that were just hanging on like, I'm done. I was going with you on No Hill, but I hate gay people. I heard this week. I posted it because it just made me laugh so much. I don't even know his name. I was listening to some comedian on XM radio. Just as I was about to get out of the car, he said, you know, I've never considered myself a religious person. But recently I was on a plane and we hit terrible turbulence. And my first instinct was to take rights away from gay people. That is such a commentary on religion. But anyway, I started hearing things coming out and I thought, well, I'm in a ethical crisis here because common sense is telling me to shut up and just keep giving them what they expect me to give them. There's not a lot of, well, I don't want to say that. Historically, there's not a lot of money and security in destroying people's comfort zone. People usually give to what is familiar with them. But here's why we're here today. If you can find true seekers and stop communicating up here and start communicating into that which you heard from the beginning, you will find that true seekers will say, you know what? I've always felt like that myself. And I didn't have language for it. I didn't have verses of scripture to let me know if it was okay or not okay. But the same way that I said Bishop Pearson gave me some courage to say out loud what I had always believed. You know what? You've heard me say this before. But for him specifically, what was the thing that did it for me? Because, you know, you find that you have more tradition than you think you have. It's like... you've ever gone one of these cleanses and stuff comes out of you that you're like, dear God, how long is that? How long have I been carrying that around? Because you don't know, you've coexisted with it. You didn't know.
And you can be toxic and not know it.
Right. But I was listening to him and I wasn't listening in a negative way. I was just, he was preaching at the cathedral one time and I was listening to him and it was right when he was in the heat of controversy. And he said something that just was an epiphany for me. He said, what I don't understand is that the Christian world doesn't hope I'm right. Exactly. And I thought, huh, that's a very interesting statement, but the tectonic plates in my world just shifted. My axis just changed. Because you're right. Why is that? Why Why do Christians need hell so much? Why do you need to read something into John 14:6 that is not what Jesus was talking about? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. People don't send it to me so much now, but there was a time people just would cut and paste that verse to me over and over again. I think, you honestly think I don't, let me, which translation would you like for me to quote John 14 to you in? But in their mentality, that was Jesus saying, no, you embrace me or you're going to hell because I'm so insecure. If you don't call my name, like I remember out in Conyers, one of those churches years ago had those tribulation trails that they used to have for Halloween. And it would show like teenagers committing suicide, like reenactments. Teenagers committing suicide or dying in a car wreck, and they're all going to hell. And the one I didn't see it. I remember Scott Pettit told me about it, but it was so grotesque to me. I couldn't get the thought of it out of my head. There's a scene where at the end where the young teenage girl dies in a car wreck, and because she didn't confess Jesus, she's about to go to hell. And she goes up to Jesus, and there's a guy standing there with long hair and everything, and she says, "Please have mercy on me. I didn't know. And Jesus says, "My hands are tied. There's nothing I can do for you." As the demons come out and take her, she's screaming, and he's like, "Sorry, you didn't call my name in time." And I thought, that is a damn false doctrine. That is not, if that's who Jesus is, then give me some brochures on Buddhism or something, because really, you're telling me that the compassionate God would look at a 15-year-old just because she didn't say the right words and you're going to send her to hell for eternity? No, I do not believe in that, and you can quote me on that. Now, that's old news. You know, I don't even have that argument now. If you want to believe in hell, I'm like, enjoy your hell, whatever. I'm not even interested in winning that argument anymore. I'm totally in a different space now. If you want to believe in it, fine. You've got scriptures. If that's where you want to put your energy, fine. I'm interested in what's going on in the world. How do I make the world better? How do I bring the message of unity to my country that seems very polarized? And I like an exchange of ideas. I like the idea of a two-party system. I think we're healthier for having conservatives and liberals both giving their ideology, and that becomes the warp and woof of the fabric that is democracy. But I'm not hearing that now. Now I just hear polarization. And it's us versus them. And it does make, thank you for the plug for Metron, but let me just add, not just this place, but any place that is preaching a message of inclusion. It makes days like today even that much more important. Because without our influence, the earth's not going to be salted. And if we don't keep lighting the candle, we're on the brink of a civil war. So we're very necessary. We need to, and not just here, but I mean to you and to Bishop Pearson and to my cousin and Jeremy Lopez and all different people that I know, Doug Wentz, all these people who are not all the same. We're not all totally cut from the same cloth, but are at least preaching something that's helping people grow wings. And growing wings is a little bit terrifying at first. But flight is a beautiful thing. I've gone over time, but give me a statement about unity, about unto us, or something, and we'll wrap it up. And you're brilliant. I thoroughly enjoyed having you today.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here. So, you know, unto us, I think we have to get back to that and every day wake up with this practice. It is a spiritual discipline to bring yourself into a place of radical inclusion. It doesn't seem to be bred into our particular culture. Ironically, we live in the United States of America. We talk about pledging allegiance to the United States of America. We use the word united, and yet we seem so divided. It has to become a spiritual practice for us to allow ourselves to become radically inclusive. And it's not always fun. But for those of you who feel like that you're losing your mind, you're not losing your mind, you're waking up. Okay, you're not losing your mind, you're waking up. Or maybe you are losing the old mind and putting on the new mind. And so just be at ease with that. Allow yourself to ease into that. Don't allow yourself to be afraid of the other, and you'll find yourself not dealing with the other. It won't be us and them. It will be us together collectively.
I want to do this. Let's all stand. And I know we've gone a little over time, but I haven't done this. I don't think I've ever done this at Metron. Would you take the hand of the person next to you? And this is going to sound so old school, but if you're on a computer, would you touch this? Put your hand to the television screen. No, I really want... Seriously. Just put your hand where my hand is. I know it sounds... No, it doesn't. It's, you know what I mean. Say whatever you want to say in this, but I speak unity.
Absolutely.
Connectedness.
Oneness, completeness.
Universality, oneness, completeness, consciousness. What do you speak over them?
Yeah, definitely universal oneness, understanding that, not seeing people after the flesh anymore, but after the spirit, recognizing all people as important, not seeing orientation, color of skin, religion, not even being concerned about that. Our first concern is humanity, understanding humanity. When you do that, you become more kind to the earth itself and to the nature that's around us. It sounds Buddhist to many, but invest yourself in the understanding that we were all put here. The kingdom of God is within you, through you, as you. The scripture there could be translated in Luke, where it says the kingdom of God is within you. It's as easily translated the kingdom of God is among you.
Okay, yeah.
In that original translation, among you. So say that real quick. Among us.
Unto us a child is born. Unto us a new revelation is born. Unto us a new world is born. Mm-hmm. We pray in the new heavens and the new earth.
We say it is, yes.
We pray it in, and we speak unity in this house and in your house as well. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being with us on In the Now with Jim Swilley. Once again, would you please tell John Scott how much we appreciate. Fabulous. Love it. Good stuff, man. That'll work. I want to do a fourth one, but we'd start the movie. you got anything else?
I don't want to interrupt, but I do believe that you have postured yourself, Bishop Swilley, you've postured yourself in this community for a powerful 2017. I really believe that. I really believe that you're in position for a very powerful expression. And it doesn't happen in numbers. It happens in the continuity of your awareness, okay? And it becomes consistent. I feel like there are many of you who are just absolutely on board with this, and some of you that are not quite sure. But wipe the sleep out of your eyes. Allow the coffee to brew. And allow yourself to be awake. It is okay. The sun is shining in on you. And support this. Not just with your time and your talent, but with your finances and with your friendship and with your relationship. And don't be ashamed or afraid to invite people to this, because you're not inviting people into a religious experience. You're inviting people into a life experience. And that is spirituality at its core. It's the ground of being. And so be encouraged. I really feel like, and maybe this is prophetic, or you would think it is, I really feel like 2017 is a very defining year. I think it is time for voices like this voice here that have had its, we would think it's ups and downs. It's actually pretty fun, because it's fun to ride a roller coaster every once in a while. But I do believe you have reached a place in a plateau where the wings, you've flown before many times, but you're evolved, and you have evolved into, I think you've moved from butterfly to eagle, and it's time to really soar. There's a difference in flying and soaring, where you actually rest on the wind. You don't have to flap the wings to get where you're going. See, we're not born again to go somewhere. We're born again to grow somewhere. And so that's what we're doing, is growing. And I just really speak a fantastic blessing for every one of your homes and this family for 2017.
Received. Let the church say amen.